Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
And this is Karen Pickard and...
And Marcia Klayman.
With the positive points on aging.
You know, I was going to really shock Brian today. We were going to do a recording of the Saturday Night Lights, a light skit, but we decided it might not be good for the morning.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Let's not do that one. No, I don't think so.
I know what you're talking about.
Kevin just decided we were no longer allowed on the radio.
But it's good to be back. Last week, Karen was talking about things that we're doing to cope with COVID-19. And being that we both work in assisted living, we see another side of it versus those that are staying in their homes. And we wanted to continue that conversation because, thank goodness, we've only got how many days left in this month, in this year?
In this year?
But,
soon.
But we know that December 31st is not going to be the end of COVID and its effects that it has on all of us. So we wanted to continue that in regards to talking about what we can do to make life a little bit more positive. And Karen, last week you were talking a lot about, we talked about the mental aspect of it in regards to the mental health.
Right.
Suicides are up.
Alcohol, drug abuse, all those kinds of things we're seeing a tick up on. And it's kind of frightening when you think about it because people sitting at home alone, what are they going to do? They watch TV. Well, TV can be very depressing. The news is horrible. I encourage everybody not to watch the news. It's not like we can fix a lot of it anyway, unless you're a very active person in politics or in something like that. There's not much you can do. And, you know, I'm not a real big person on holiday movies, but right now at least there's some positive holiday movies out there to watch, if nothing else, as you laugh at me.
I think I've watched National Lampoon's Christmas for like 4 times so far.
I'm a Santa Claus one, so same, you know. But it's been very difficult for people at home. And I do think people, particularly people who live alone, it's real easy to sit around and drink too much because what else are you going to do? It's really frightening to me what I'm seeing happening. So I'm encouraging people to get help, reach out to other people. The suicide prevention number that they have given us that I do want to keep posting is 800-273-8255. If you really are depressed and if you really are struggling this time of year, holiday seasons are not always the merriest time of year. Please don't hesitate to call somebody and talk to them. There's crisis lines. There's all kinds of helplines that we have numbers for.
Absolutely. You know, not to make light of this, but I know that this year it really hit me when the ACC tournament was canceled. I mean, because I'm such a basketball fan, and I realized then that my life was going to change. Because I look forward to watching basketball, college basketball. And then as we saw things evolve where this was canceled and proms were canceled and graduations were canceled. But you know what? We can turn this around. We just need to realize that 2020 has just been a poo-poo year, and we're not gonna have it again. We're going to make things better. We're going to survive it. We're also going to find ways that we can help each other in regards to isolation. As I was talking to you yesterday, I live in a neighborhood where most of my neighbors are retired. Most of them are women, widows. And one on each side of me, I had not seen them for a while. And it really concerned me because I want to know how are they doing? You know, why there's no visitors over there. But last night when I found that one of them came home, I was relieved. But I need to do the next step. And what would that be, Karen?
Well, the next step can be a lot of things. You don't have to have personal contact with somebody to keep in touch with them these days. You can make a phone call. If it's a neighbor, you can drop off food and just say, I've made this for you. It's safe. It's in a safe container. I've worn gloves. Here's some food. Can I, like I mentioned last week, can I take your trash out for you? Do you need help with that? Can I go to the store for you? Grocery stores deliver, but sometimes you need things from other stores. Some people might need clothing items some of us has put on weight during the COVID-19 time. We might need some clothes. And the point of this show is to have positive points. And that's what I'd like to focus on is things that we can do positively to help one another as a country and as a neighborhood. We live you and I both live in Chapin. It's a small area. Everybody kind of knows everybody. But there are people moving to that area you don't know. So get to know your neighbors and find out what their needs are. You might have somebody who's handicapped who might need a ride somewhere. Maybe you can help take them to a doctor's appointment. You can wear a mask. You can wear PPE and be safe and take people places too.
You know, another thing that we should be focusing on is that for those of you that have been afraid of turning on a computer, learning how to work a computer, as I said a couple weeks ago, all you have to do is learn how to turn it on, know how to go to Google and just peck in the letters that you want,
right?
And find something. And if you can't find get your grandchild. I have grandchildren that have been teaching me how to work on the computer since they were 6 and 7.
Absolutely.
Because they're so good at it. Even my phone, I wish they were around every time I mess my phone up because they can figure it out immediately. But it's things like social media that you don't have to get into the nitty-gritty on how the Kardashians are doing today, but you can keep up with each other's neighbors. You can join clubs. There's a lot of clubs on social media to kind of encourage you, whether it's a prayer group or it's a book club or anything like that. You can use that social media as an outlet to not feel so lonely.
That's a good point. Actually, this weekend, we had my in-laws who are in their 90s and my sons at our house, and they were introducing them to Grubhub and Uber Eats so that they could get food delivered to them, because we don't want them driving, particularly at night, if they don't have to. So have Grubhub deliver food to your house. It's a wonderful way to get meals delivered if you need to. And almost all restaurants now are using one of the food delivery systems. So that works out well. Social media can be good. It's not human contact, but it's better than no contact, that's for sure. And I think I mentioned last week that my sister actually plays bridge online with her bridge group. They can't get together physically, but they can play together online, and they still keep up their bridge group, which is fun, and it's a good way to do that. Go ahead.
The other thing is that just connecting with people that you haven't seen, I mean, it's amazing. I'll think of somebody that I haven't talked to in years, and I'll type their name into Facebook, and there they are.
Yeah.
And then people will respond to me. They've either seen me on LinkedIn or on Facebook, on doing something. And then they connect with me, and it just makes me feel good, like, hey, I'm not forgotten. I'm still out there in this world. So let's reconnect and talk about some of the old times before 2020.
That's a good point, yeah. How to do it. And, you know, the thing that is that I think most people are afraid of computers. They're afraid they're going to do something wrong. You really aren't going to blow it up. It'll be okay. And if you may mess it up, you can get it fixed and start over again.
All you have to do is say no. No, I'm not interested.
No, I'm not interested. That's very, very true. But we have been blessed to be in a time where we do have social media, and we're not relying on cards and mail. But even though mail's kind of fun to get, I've been mailing out letters a lot this Christmas to people that I haven't over the years, because it's just another way to connect with them.
Yeah, I think the art of letter writing is actually making a comeback. I think people are starting to learn how to write in cursive again. And they're also keeping up. I know I've been sending out a lot of cards because I just feel like I want people to know that I do think about you. I do miss you. And just want them to know that you're being thought of.
Absolutely. That's all we want. We don't want to be lost in the fog with everything else, which is what I think everybody feels right now. Between the election and between COVID and between all the other things that are going on, you're still important, and you need to remember that.
Absolutely.
It's important that this holiday season, however you celebrate, you know that you're loved amongst other people and people care for you. And again, we will talk about more about this after the break, about how to reach out to your neighbors and friends.
And we'll also talk about some self-care.
Mornings with Kev. Back to the Bark Fireside Studios.
It's Mornings with Kev and Brian.
Are we ready to talk about how we can make turn this COVID into a positive aspect that we can we can look back on and grow from. You know, whenever, like, we have to always look backwards to go forward. So we're going to talk about how we can do more positive things to turn it around and get the doom and gloom out of our heads and see what we can do, not only to help others, but when we help others, we help ourselves because we lift ourselves up and we're giving back. So we're not sitting there feeling sorry for ourselves. So Karen, let's talk about some positive things we can do for others that will also help ourselves.
I said a lot of it last week, and it's still the same, though. We just need to remember to reach out to one another. And I would like to stress this year has been bad, but let's carry the positive forward into next year. And when things do sort of get back to normal, let's not forget how we felt when we were helping one another. So, again, the people next door, have you talked to them? Do you know your neighbors? Do you know the people down the street? I see strangers walking in my neighborhood that have been there for years, and I didn't know they'd been there because I'm in my own little world and they were in their own little world, and now we're reaching out to one another. We're sharing Christmas cookies. We're sharing, I make chocolate-covered cherries. I've taken chocolate-covered cherries out to some of our neighbors that I would never have done that to before because I never thought about it. I figured they had their own lives in their own worlds. I know you've been doing some of that yourself with your neighbors, making sure that if you don't see a neighbor, call them and find out what's going on. Maybe they're just staying in because it's cold or they're just uncomfortable, but make sure they're okay. You and I in the industry of assisted living have heard horror stories of people who have fallen and people didn't see them for days. And when they finally do get, somebody does call on them and checks on them and they end up in the hospital, they're much sicker than they would have been had somebody been checking on them regularly. And, you know, people say to me, oh, well, I call my mother in the morning every day. Well, there's a long time between 8 o'clock in the morning and the next day at 8 o'clock in the morning. And usually accidents happen at 2 in the morning, not at 11 or 12. So make sure people are checking on one another. Kev was talking last week how he and his family check on his mother constantly throughout the day. That's vitally important because little old ladies or little old men fall at random times. And that's what's scary. They don't have somebody to help them.
You know, I think another thing what people do is that, you know, when we're active in our church groups or our social groups or a Rotary group, you know, we have this connection and we're all working together for the good. What happens when those groups aren't meeting anymore? And we kind of assume that somebody else is going to take the lead and do something. Well, you know, there's a lot of places, example, WeCare. Or, you know, someplace where we could help, even if it's 1 to 2 hours a week, we can go in there and say, look, I can help label, I can help pack, I can make phone calls. What can I do for you that I can help somebody that I will never meet in my life, that I want to be able to reach out and say, hey, somebody cares about you. And, you know, we shouldn't wait for somebody else to take the lead. We should always be thinking, what can I do to help someone else?
Well, that's absolutely true, because the person taking the lead is going to be you. If you're waiting for somebody else to do it, it's probably not going to happen. And food banks are hurting, and particularly this time of year, they're hurting badly. So, you know, when you're buying food for your Christmas dinner, buy some extra food and drop it off at your local food bank. You mentioned WeCare. That's up in Chapin. And I know that every Sunday I hear at church that WeCare needs certain food products because they feed so many people and their numbers are up astronomically at this point. Volunteer at thrift shops. People are buying more and more items from thrift shops because so many people have lost their jobs. I know we're talking about a new stimulus packet coming out, but that's not going to fill in the needs for some of these people. I know St. Francis in Chapin, their outreach and thrift shop program helps people pay their lighting and heating bills. You know, maybe you can just write a check to something like that when you know it's going to a local family and helping local people and not going out to the CEOs of large companies. I have problems with some of the charities because they do have such large infrastructure, for lack of a better word. But if you know something is local, make sure you're giving to those organizations and helping them as well.
Something else like Meals on Wheels is fantastic because not only are you working on, you're feeding someone, you're delivering it, but that's also a check-in point for people that are expecting meals to come in. You know, if they're not answering the door, there's something wrong. And they learn to depend on that, but they look forward to that quick visit of just handing the food over.
That quick interaction that they have. I will tell another story, family story, that my mother-in-law, goodness, I would like to say till she was about 89, was delivering Meals on Wheels. And she would talk about finding people who weren't answering the door, and so she'd have to call back to the senior center to tell them that the people didn't come to the door so somebody could check on them. And she did over the years, she probably delivered meals for 30 years, and she did over the years find people who needed help.
And I think when you set yourself up for that, that gives you something to look forward to. So maybe you're not going out as much. So who cares if your food's being delivered? Get out of the house a couple hours a week, you know, put your mask on, put your shield on, put your gloves on, but do something. Because I'm telling you, when it comes to self-care, you're going to feel so much better when you've spent that time giving of yourself instead of just always taking for yourself. So groups like that, like Meals on Wheels, you can go to almost any of the county senior aging councils and they will sign you up really quick.
And they are looking for volunteers, excuse me.
Absolutely, because a lot of people are afraid to go out or they're not, you know, they've stopped driving. And so absolutely, they need the manpower to get those meals out to people.
Well, and also the numbers for needing meals has increased. That's another problem that we're having with this, because not only are people being shut in, they just can't get to the store, they can't prepare their own food. Some people can't get their caregivers in because caregivers are sick. If a caregiver's had COVID, you don't want them coming to visit your 80-year-old mom until they're healthy enough to do so. So who takes care of her at that point? A lot of people rely on private sitters, and that's a scary thing. And when a private sitter gets sick, they've got to figure out other ways of taking care of themselves.
Absolutely. That's the one plug we have to give for assisted living. Because somebody's always going to be there. The light's always going to be on. Somebody's there 24/7. And that was one of the things that people, you know, they're afraid to move their loved ones into assisted living. And if I could only tell them, it's really a safe place because we're being tested all the time. We are the cleanest people in the world. And really, it's something that they need to look into as we talk about, you know, we don't know when this COVID's going to go away. So we've got to be constantly trying to find ways to keep our loved ones safe and healthy and secure.
And secure. And people tell me all the time, well, I got to wait till COVID's over. And I'm thinking, no, you know, honestly, you know, in assisted living, who is coming in and who isn't. We get tested every Monday at Oakleaf Village. And you know where the staff has been. The staff is very much aware of what they're doing, and they wear masks everywhere they go. So honestly, it's probably safer now to move to assisted living than it's been ever, to be honest. I mean, we always used to have the flu, and you'd see that go through the building. But we're all waiting. We're all just having to be safe at assisted living at this point.
Well, we want to wish everyone a safe, healthy, and happy holiday season. Just take care of yourself. Just be positive. Turn that negative into something positive. Don't think about COVID-19. Think about how we're going to move forward. And we will be back next Tuesday for the Positive Points on Aging.
XL Columbia W264DF.
From the BART Fireside Studio, the solution for keeping you warm this winter.
This is 107 The Point.